Why do women feel more financial shame than men? Today we unravel the societal norms and myths holding women back when it comes to money. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where we break down financial complexity into everyday conversations. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Today we're tackling a tricky subject in regard to what stands in the way of women feeling smart with their money. Spoiler alert, it's not that women are just choosing to not care about money. There's a lot more to it than that, and today's guest, Stephanie McCullough, joins me today to help break down some of the common hurdles and the ways women are taught and talked to about money. It's going to be a very enlightening conversation today, and I know you're going to take a lot away from it, so make sure you stick around. The money talking points for today's episode are, how can you have better money talks with the women in your life, and two, how has financial advice been given differently to you than someone of the opposite gender? With the money talking points in mind, let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Stephanie McCullough, and I'm excited for this conversation. We're talking about what stands in the way with women feeling smart when it comes to money. I think it's going to be a great conversation. It's always a fun topic when I get to dive into this, either with my wife as we talk about ways that women are taught differently about money, things like that. So I'm excited to dive into this. Stephanie, would you introduce yourself for everyone?
Sure, Skylar. Thanks so much for having me on. Hi, everyone. My name is Stephanie McCullough. I have been a financial planner for 27 years this month. That's a long time, and it was a career change for me. So you can start to do the math. I live in suburban Philadelphia. I've got two kids in their 20s. I've been married 32 years. I grew up not wanting to be a financial advisor and then kind of followed my dad with his business. And have really come to love it and develop this niche of working with women specifically. Also, just to get this out of the way, I offer investment advice through Private Advisor Group, which is a federally registered investment advisor. And the opinions that I'm going to offer today are for general information. They're not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations to any individual. I'm sure all the listeners know that, right? They should do their own research to determine their own investment strategies that might be suitable. Consult a qualified, appropriate professional before making decisions.
Perfect. Thank you for the introduction and for getting through the obvious part, I think. Of course, we're talking general. So if someone needs specific advice, there are professionals for that. So reach out and ask. But let's get into it today about talking about women and money. What are some common hurdles that women face when it comes to money?
You know, I know you recently had Maggie Nielsen on the show, right? Mm-hmm. And she covered some of these too, like, you know, women tend to make less than men, and then we tend to take time out of the workforce. You know, there's a great book called Women Don't Ask about how when first getting a job offer, men usually negotiate like, oh, that sounds great, but what if you could give me a little bit more in the salary? And women usually don't. And that can have a really big impact over the course of a career. And then we take time out of the workforce to be caregivers, whether to family members, children, you know, lots of different folks, and we live longer. So we end up at retirement with less savings, and then we live a longer time. So that's difficult. But I think there's another kind of more internal issue, which is that we kind of are socialized to believe that money is a man's realm, whether it's told to us explicitly, or we kind of just pick up that message from the world. And therefore, you know, we kind of grow up believing that we're not good at it. And that can present a real barrier from taking agency and from even showing interest in the topic.
Yeah. And even then, my podcast demographics can tend to skew more male. I think that almost reinforces the idea that it's a man's realm, which shouldn't be the case. It's always important, especially if you're married, to get both spouses involved, of course, but especially like get your wife involved if you're the one who wants to manage the money. How do you think that one could be broken? How do we break through the man's realm idea?
Oh, you know, I think, I mean, I love what you're doing with this podcast, right? If we can normalize talking about money in all avenues of life with our family members, with our children, with our spouses, with our coworkers, you know, with everyone, just kind of try to break the taboo, because it is kind of the last taboo, you know, like used to be sex and religion, and now people talk about that all the time. But, you know, money is still feels uncomfortable to bring up. So the more we can try to break that down, I think that really helps. What I've seen in my years working with women specifically is that they tend to have a lot of shame around the topic. You know, we're not taught about finances in school, most of us. We're just thrown out into the world and we have to figure it out, sink or swim. And when I was in college, they were throwing credit card offers at us left and right, and then not really explaining to us how that all worked. So, you know, all of us have made financial mistakes. And if we can't talk about it and realize that we're not the only ones that have made a mistake, then the shame can build up. And then we think, oh my gosh, look, I've done it again. I went to the store, I went to Target, and I bought more than I expected. I'm the worst human ever. I literally have women who come to me and they say, I must be the worst person you've ever met. Like, wow. No, you're absolutely not. But because we can't talk about it, right? Brené Brown says that shame festers in the dark. So if we don't realize that we're not alone in feeling these feelings, I think that can cause more trouble. So again, I think the solution is more talking.
Well, that plays right into my theme of my podcast. So I'm really happy to hear that. I can help be that change, I guess, for you, to help you out there. So we'll keep talking about money. But how can men and women be helpful in helping women do better with money? We just talked about that one specific one of talk about it more. Is there maybe a couple other things that we can do?
Yeah, I think maybe even, you know, be more helpful. I think not just talking about the dollars and cents or the strategies or the Roth IRAs, but talking about the softer side of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I tend to have, you know, this emotional reaction. And maybe that comes from when I was a kid and my father used to always say something, right? Like sharing our stories around money. And because we all have baggage, we all have all kinds of, you know, head trash, I've heard it called, you know, stuff swimming around between our ears, little stories about money that we pick up from society, from culture, from our own experiences, or from very often from our families of origin. You know, the messages that we heard either explicitly or implicitly, right? It might just be how your parents handled the money. My parents used to overhear the whispered arguments late at night when they thought the kids were asleep, right? And I was like, ooh, money is stressful, right? That's kind of one of the messages that I got. So if we can start to share those things, you don't have to share your bank balance or your credit card balance, but share the softer side, the emotional side of money, and that we're all just humans having an experience with this stuff, I think that's helpful.
Yeah. And that's one of the favorite things when I'm talking to friends or even on some of my podcast episodes, I'll be like, what's your first money memory? Because that's kind of foundational to so many things. And I think that gets to the point you're saying of share more than the dollars and cents. Because one, I think like I am that way. I am a dollar and cents kind of person. I am all strategy. Let's figure out the math. And then my wife brings in the behavioral aspect of it, which is fantastic for me because it helps me adjust, but also the dollar and cents is useful. So being able to balance and talk about both sides of that, I'm just going to add, I guess, 100%, that's how we need to do it because it just makes it so much better when you can unlock that.
Well, and even, you know, you as a dollar and cents guy, you probably have some, you know, some money scripts going on in your head and some, you know, messages that you picked up early. And like my dad taught me, debt is terrible. Debt is bad. You never want to have debt. So like, that's something I carry around with me. And when I have had to maybe run a balance on a credit card for a couple of months, right? The guilt I have all from that early messaging. So we've all got it.
Yeah. And once you recognize it, then it's so much easier to work through it because you can then say, oh, it's actually, maybe it's okay because I am in an extremely hard time in my life right now to carry a couple months of credit card debt. But if you didn't even acknowledge that beforehand, that's just pure stress that whole time, like, which is just not fun. So
right. A lot of this stuff is subconscious until we can try to bring it into the light. And it has to be done very gently with grace and kindness for ourselves. Maybe sometimes easier to do it with someone else who's going to be kind to you and non-judgmental.
Yeah. And there's so many podcasts out there that take listener questions that you can submit anonymously. They can help you kind of get the thoughts started. And then you can take it to a friend or a coworker. So that's like, find an avenue that you can break the ice easily is something I like to say. I've even suggested maybe pitching your idea or issue that you're going through with money, maybe as if it's someone else's. If you're super nervous about bringing it up, maybe try to shield yourself a little bit, and then you can really get into it once you've actually pushed through that uncomfortableness.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even though it's my question.
Right. I would also say, like, try to pick the places where you're going to ask your question wisely, because there are, unfortunately, financial professionals in my world and other, you know, gurus out there who are pretty judgmental, and they can really kind of come down with the shame hammer even harder. And I don't, in my opinion, that's counterproductive. So, you know, maybe, you know, do a little due diligence on where you might ask the question first.
Ask it to multiple people too. There's hundreds and thousands of podcasts out there. Submit the question to three of them and see the different answers you get. So,
Fantastic.
How are women taught differently about money? I think this one's going to be fascinating to hear about.
Well, you know, I've read articles and seen reports. I can't cite them, of course, but you know, that there have been research on, you know, like magazine articles about money, and the ones targeted to men more often talk about investing, and the ones targeted to women more often talk about spending and saving and trying to spend less and that kind of stuff. So it reinforces that image that, you know, over the long term stuff, the big important monumental stuff like investing, that's the man's world. Oh, the budgeting, that's cute. You know, the going to the grocery store, you can handle that, women. So I do think a lifetime of seeing that media coverage can play a role. But I've also talked to clients, because we always talk about, you know, how is money handled in your family growing up? I have talked to clients more often kind of in the baby boomer generation who said, oh, my father, my grandfather taught my brothers and my male cousins about investing, but they never taught me and my sisters. So explicitly, and probably there was an assumption like, oh, you women, you won't need to know that because the men will take care of you, which there's all kinds of problems with those assumptions. Yeah. But, you know, I think that's an issue. Like, women weren't taught, a lot of us weren't taught about money, but I think women more often are not taught.
Yeah, rather than taught differently. But like you said, those sort of, I guess, preconceived ideas do come through that men handle the investing, women handle the grocery budget, which is just not a fair way to look at it. But even getting to the point where it's not taught at all, that's crazy. That's completely different. Like, if you don't even know anything about money, and that is fascinating.
Well, and really again, sad. It is. It's counterproductive. And again, this is just my experience, a couple of stories, but I have heard from several women who, you know, one, when she went to the financial advisor with her husband, the guy only ever spoke to her husband, barely ever looked at her, took the husband out to the baseball games, you know, and so when the husband passed away, she left, you know, she was like, I have no relationship with this guy. But also, you know, he wasn't taking the opportunity to have a conversation with her, to teach her, to answer her questions. Another woman I know had a very large legal settlement from a court case, and she was interviewing financial advisors to help her invest the money. And she couldn't find too many women. She interviewed, I don't know, 10. She brought her husband with her just to have a second set of ears, you know, which is smart. Most of the advisors talked to her husband. She made the appointment. Wow. It was her money. They knew that. They ignored her and they talked to him. Like, come on. It's still out there.
That's wild. And I hope people listen to this and realize, oh, maybe I did that at one point, and they can change, like, or pay attention to it. If you're married right now and you're getting to that point where, hey, let's meet with an advisor in a couple weeks, and then you can be aware of it now, because that's how we start changing these sort of things. So that's sad, but a fantastic story to hear so that we can make the change that we need to. So
it's a good point about the awareness, right? Like, if you're thinking about buying a red Subaru, all of a sudden you see red Subarus everywhere, right? Yeah. Once you're something's planted in your mind, you're like, oh my gosh, I think he's doing that thing. And then you can maybe ask your spouse a question in the meeting to just bring it back.
Bring him back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. This has been great so far. We're still rocking and rolling. There's been a lot of great things uncovered so far. My notes are getting lengthy, which is fantastic. So I think, I hope someone isn't listening to this thinking, well, now I have to go become a financial expert. Like, the only way for me to manage my own money is to know everything. Why do you say that women don't have to become financial experts to manage their money?
Yes. You know, I do tend to say that a lot, because I have seen so many women who come in and they feel like, oh my gosh, like, either I can never do this because I don't have an MBA or a fancy finance degree, or I can't make an investing decision until I read 12 books or take a course or really become an expert in it. And that's a barrier because they don't find it interesting. So are they really going to go do it? So what I always say is, you know, the step zero, the first most important step of any money decision is to get clear on what that money's for. What is that money's purpose in your life? Money is just a tool. It's how we express value in our world. It's how we get the things that we need and want today and in the future. It's a tool. What is this money that you're thinking about right now? What's it for? Oh, it's for long-term when I'm older. Okay, that tells you something. Or, ooh, this is my, you know, what if a tree falls on the house money? I'm going to need it. Okay, that tells you something different, right? So getting clear on what the money is for and what your values are, what's most important to you is the first thing. And then, you know, if you're looking, for example, to do some investing, my world, the financial services world, can make investing super complicated, but it doesn't have to be. There are ways to invest very simply. And in my opinion, you know, that's just as effective. And honestly, for someone, a lot of my clients who would rather not spend their whole days reading about investing, it's just as effective. So it doesn't, you don't have to become an expert. You can, you know, ask yourself a few key questions, ask some professionals or, you know, the financial world a few key questions, and then move forward. That's the key, is moving forward. Because if we don't, if we don't make any decision and just keep that money sitting in the bank account or under the mattress, right, then that's not going to serve us in the long term.
Yeah. And those are some great steps. I like just the general message of keep it simple, because that's where, once you start complicating it, and I remember there was a period in my wife and I's financial life where I was chasing after accounts, maybe looking into ones that had a crypto tie-in, things like that. And then thankfully it got to the point where I was like, this is just ridiculously complicated. Let's get out of it. And then things started to go south. So I consider myself lucky on the timing there, but
yeah,
thankfully due to my wife and I's conversations, and I think money talks are a great way for someone to feel like they are getting in control with their money. But what are some other steps that women can take to get in control with their money?
So one that I really like is keeping a journal, not of your dollars and cents, but of the emotions that come up when you have to deal with money. Like, oh my gosh, it's time to open my credit card statement. In the old days, we used to do it in paper, right? Now maybe you're opening that email or you're logging onto the thing. Do you get a feeling in your gut? Do you start to sweat? Like, what is going on in your mind? Take note of that gently, right? With grace for yourself. Be, if you can kind of put on your investigator hat, your scientist hat, be like, oh, every time I have to log on to the bank account, I start to get a little nervous. Interesting, right? No judgment. Interesting. What's going on with that? Or if you get a sudden, you know, money that you didn't realize was coming, or you find a $20 bill in your winter coat pocket or something when you pull it out for the season, right? What's your first inclination to do with that money? Oh, okay, that's interesting. You know, is it to, I want to pay down my mortgage, or is it, ooh, I want to buy some new nail polish? I don't know. Like, it could be anything. No judgment, just noticing and noticing the emotions that come around it. I think that's important. And then along with your kind of money talks idea, I always suggest that everyone find a money buddy.
Someone in their life. I've heard this term before. I love it.
Yeah, right? May or may not be your romantic partner. That's up to you. But someone in your life with whom you feel you can be super open about all your money stuff. And in turn, they're going to be open with you, right? You're in this together. You're looking for non-judgment. You're looking for probably accountability. Like someone you can call up when there's a sale at your favorite store and it's like,
talk me off the ledge.
Right? And they're like, but you said you really wanted to save up for a new car next year. Yes, thank you. Click. Right? Because when we're all alone, science has proven the human brain is bad at money, right? The whole field of behavioral finance, as you know, right? Like, we're not good at this stuff. So having some outside accountability and reminders of our own goals, I just really like the idea of a money buddy. Maybe it's your cousin. Maybe it's your neighbor. Think of someone who you feel like is going to be gentle with you, but also can bring that accountability.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And to go back to your journaling idea too, I even thought about it that maybe there's a way, and I even considered maybe this in my spreadsheet that I keep, of adding a column that says feeling when purchased and then feeling 30 days later about that purchase.
Ooh, That's
a great way too. If you break it down to the individual purchase level, maybe you feel fantastic the day you bought X, but then 30 days later, when you're reviewing your budget, you're like, my feeling is I don't remember what that is. Like, I don't know what I did with that thing, which is so common, but that allows us to bring into that awareness factor again of, I don't actually need this in 10 days, let alone today. So,
and the goal is to be more intentional with our money, right? Mm-hmm. To be more mindful, because it's super easy in our world to spend money, you know, just on autopilot or without realizing it. I was on my phone this morning looking at my, you know, Android Play Store, and somehow I got into the point of subscriptions. There was an app I subscribed to 2 years ago. Wow. That I was so excited about. It was going to let me point my camera at a plant. It was going to tell me what the plant was. Mm-hmm. I'm not a gardener, but I forgot I had it. So I've been paying $25 a year for this plant identification app. Like,
really?
So if I had recorded somewhere like, oh, I was super excited about this, and then I looked back on it like, right.
Didn't use
not
it.
Not so exciting. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
Yeah. So journal, that's a great one to apply to your money. And yeah, and even I think the thing that I hope any listener can take away is you're hearing two people who we claim to know about money, right? But we still make simple mistakes like subscriptions, like things like that happened to both of us where you're like, wow, how did that, like we paid for Hulu for a long time and I finally said, let's pause it and then we can reassess in 3 months. If we've used it at all, we can come back to it. We didn't. And now it's gone and we're better off for it. So
there you go.
There's a lot of ways and everyone makes these small little mistakes. So like you said, on every single one of those points to get in control, don't judge yourself. Just make the change and keep moving forward. But
notice, just notice. And we're like, oh gosh, I did that thing. Interesting. I'm going to fix it and go forward. We don't beat up our past selves.
This next one, I'm also super interested to hear about from my male perspective. And I think that can help since males are the majority listeners of my show. I can often feel maybe uncomfortable to bring up money to women in my life, either like my sister, maybe my grandma or a coworker. I feel comfortable bringing up these conversations with male friends. Like I'll send my friends a text and say, hey, check out this investing thing, just to your point again of how it's easy to bring that up to men for some weird reason. How can we make sure we're comfortable with having conversations with money with women in our lives?
My first instinct on this question is be curious and open. Don't give advice until and unless you're asked. Right. But back to kind of discuss it like you're two humans having an experience with money, right? Kind of maybe it's starting with, there's a great financial therapist named Barry Tesler, B-A-R-I Tesler. She's got a book called The Art of Money, and she suggests money dates for couples. And she has really kind of touchy-feely ways of doing it, which I love. But she says, you know, start with those questions we were talking about before, like, oh, how was money handled, you know, in your family growing up, or, you know, what money lessons did you learn from your parents, from your early mentors, right? Like, or even just who taught you about money? And that can lead to an interesting conversation. And then maybe you discover like, oh, these three women in my life are interested in the investing tips. These other women in my life, they are, you know, that's not going to float their boat, but maybe they're open to having different types of money conversations. So I think kind of the softer topics are a way in. Again, you know, just in from my perspective.
Yeah, keep it simple again. I think that's what applies here too is, and often I did this when I first started this podcast, I would go to any of my friends and be like, here's these 10 strategies you need to do today to become financial. And they just, one, they don't care because it's not applicable to their life. Right. I was just trying to shove financial advice down people's throats. So even in any conversation, male or female, keep it simple. Start with asking questions. I love your don't give advice unless you're asked. That's the best one because people really sometimes don't want it. It may be great to help nudge them down a path of looking into an S&P 500 index fund, but you don't need to go tell them, hey, you need to go switch all of your 401ks over to this today because it's just stressful, honestly.
Right. Maybe you're like, oh my gosh, how do you feel when you open up your 401k and look at the list of investment choices? It can be overwhelming, right? Like that could be a way in. And if they bite and jump into the conversation, great. If they're like, oh, I haven't looked in 5 years. I don't know.
Show them how to open their account.
Offer to help. Right. But again, like the advice, I have friends who've said, oh my gosh, I've been telling my cousin for years that she needs to work with you. And I've just gotten to the point like, no one's going to come work with a financial planner until they're ready to really, you know, expose themselves financially and be vulnerable about that stuff. So you can't push it.
You got to keep it simple and let them ask the questions. That's ultimately how you're going to make the biggest headway to help them out. So fantastic. Stephanie, this has been a great conversation. One thing I noticed is we're wearing red and green. So I guess we're preparing for Christmas in the middle of summer. I couldn't stop thinking about that the whole time. So use this as your reminder to start saving for Christmas gifts, I guess.
There you go. Yes.
But awesome. As we're coming to a close here, you mentioned you're a financial advisor. How can people find you online or reach out if they have more questions for you? And then lastly, to give you a second to think about it, I'll ask you, what's one thing you wish you knew sooner when it comes to money? But first, how can people find you online?
Okay. So my website is sophiafinancial.com. That's Sophia with an F. I'm Stephanie with a PH, Sophia with an F. sophiafinancial.com about my financial planning practice. But I too have a podcast called Take Back Retirement. And you can find that on all your podcast places.
Awesome. Fantastic. What is one thing you wish you would have known sooner when it comes to money?
So I grew up with a financial advisor for a dad, right? And I didn't want to do what he did. And to me, that whole money world kind of took on, I guess, what I saw, you know, him doing, which was, you know, it was the 70s and 80s. It was product focused, which didn't interest me at all. So I think I wish I knew earlier that we're all going to have feelings about money. And the feelings can be the things that either stand in our way or move us forward. And it's okay to acknowledge those feelings, to not feel ashamed of them, to be interested in them, and to talk about them.
Yeah, I love that. It's okay to talk about them. That's fantastic. And I think this area has come a long way in the last few years as more podcasts have begun talking about the emotion behind money. So Stephanie, that's a great place to leave this on. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a really fun conversation.
Thanks, Skylar. I enjoyed it.
Thank you to Stephanie for coming on today's episode. I want to start off by talking about the money talking points. The first one is, how can you have better money talks with the women in your life? And honestly, you just have to be open and honest. You have to tell stories of when money was hard, and you need to not act like you have everything together by just spouting off numbers. And this goes for my male friends and people who are just consumed by their numbers. Nobody cares about your net worth. It doesn't really help anybody else for you to tell someone that you're a millionaire. Sure, it might be a cool little flex piece to know that you're financially independent, and good stories can come from that, but the real value in money talks with anybody comes from sharing the stories of times when money's hard, comes from sharing the times where you maybe unlocked a new understanding about how you and your spouse handle money. That's one of the main reasons why I share the story so much of me and my wife working through how to pay off our student loans that we have from her PA school, because that was a hard story that allowed us to unlock an understanding of how we handle money together. And quite frankly, it was a big deal, and it really helped us understand how we both look at money and how these student loans impact us. So make sure you're sharing stories about financial challenges, and that's how we honestly do better with money, by learning from each other through the challenges that we've gone through. Because there's no reason for someone else in your life to go through the same credit card debt struggle that you've gone through, because you can share and help teach people from that story. So being open and honest is a great way to have better money talks with the women in all of our lives. The second money talking point is, how has financial advice been given differently to you than to someone of the opposite gender? I think of this one especially around the ads that I get versus the ads that my wife gets. I get a lot of ads around investing and crypto and things like that, while my wife gets ads around shopping and things like that. And sure, maybe there are different interests and I look up money more, so obviously I'm going to get more tailored ads for that sort of space. But I also often get sent material or reached out to about investing or other great opportunities for our money. And while I may handle the money logistics in our family, it's still very important that Rebecca knows what is going on. And I really like Stephanie's point that financial advisors can often talk directly to men and maybe ignore the women in the room or the women who is going to have the big impact on the money conversation. And I want to make sure this doesn't happen to my wife as we grow in our finances and potentially meet with professionals. I think that's a really great thing to be aware of, so that you can be careful and make sure that both men and women are being talked to the same about your money. And we're going to talk about why that's so important, that women need to be talked to about the financial plan, especially when you're meeting with a professional, in one of the common hurdles coming up. So that leads us perfectly into our next section about common hurdles that were mentioned in the interview. I want to talk about them a little bit more, and let's talk about that next. So what are some of those common hurdles? Well, women may not ask for what they deserve, which includes raises, promotions, things like that, because of the fear of rejection or being seen as aggressive instead of a caring and nurturing figure in the workplace or something like that. Women might not ask for the raise they deserve, and they may go a long time without getting the raise that they definitely deserve. And that can also come from a lack of confidence in their worth. It can be tricky. I've obviously never experienced it. And I think one way that I've noticed it between me and my wife is when we're both looking for jobs, I am much more willing to negotiate right out the gate and say, listen, this position needs to pay this much, or I need a raise, or things like that, than my wife is. I often have to encourage her to ask for those sort of things, and we have to practice through those conversations. Why is that? Well, it's just stereotypically, I guess, not assumed for women to ask for raises or something along those lines. So we need to make sure women are asking for what they deserve. And men, if you're in a leadership position, be aware of that potential hurdle and help overcome it initially by making the conversation easy and seamless. Another common hurdle is that women may tend to take time out for caregiving, and career interruptions can cause delays in the career progress. Asking for those raises, it might be hard to come back from work, get more responsibility after you've been taking care of a newborn child, and then ask for a raise right after that because you do really deserve it, because now you're taking on more responsibility. It can really impact your career advancement and retirement savings if you're taking time out for work for caregiving. Women also tend to live longer, which is the one piece that I say that women absolutely need to be involved in retirement planning and meeting with financial advisors, since they're going to be the ones using the money the longest. If women live longer than men, they should be the ones that are really talking to the financial professionals, because they're the ones who are going to use the money. Men aren't going to use it. We're going to die before we can really use the money. So women need to make sure they're in the conversation for the long-term financial planning. And women might have longer healthcare costs, longer retirement costs, because they live longer. That's a common hurdle and a thing we need to consider. There can also be internal issues or socialization issues. Money may be seen as a man's realm, unfortunately, which isn't great, because women often bring the better perspective of how we can actually think of the emotion and the behavioral aspects of our money. So we need to make sure both sides of the perspective are being brought into our conversation. We need to normalize talking about money in all areas of our life and make sure to break the taboo around discussing finances. Now, another thing is that the lack of financial education in schools, it applies to everyone, unfortunately, but especially since men tend to be taught about money more like in college and things like that with business and finance degrees, it can be an especially hard thing on women that they're not taught about it in high school and things like that. So they don't really know how to manage their money in the first place. And then men are taught to be the ones that go after the money, go after the career. So they're taught how to handle it a little bit more. And it just leaves women feeling more and more behind. Women can also carry this negative perception of being bad with money just for spending it, even though it may be just that they were never taught how to actually handle the money or something like that. This has to do with stereotypes that men invest and women spend, which isn't good or fair. So we need to make sure the perception of spending isn't just automatically assumed as bad because someone's female, because spending can be good, especially if you have your values dialed in and you know what you want to spend your money on. But next, we're going to talk about some action steps. First, we're going to talk about action steps that men can take today. So you're a man listening to this episode and you say, wow, I want to be the difference that's going to help overcome this issue. And you don't want to stand in the way of women feeling smart with their money. What steps can you take as a man to help with this issue? Well, be more helpful beyond dollars and cents. Focus on the emotional and behavioral aspects of money. Share your personal finance stories that were challenging. Seek to foster understanding, things like that. And understand the importance of upbringing. Reflect on how your parents impacted your money behavior. And if you're married, understand how your spouse's parents can influence their relationship with money, and recognize those subconscious money beliefs, because that's a huge deal. And make sure you're encouraging open conversation about money. Be curious and open, but here's the key. Listen closely. Do not give unsolicited advice. And that's speaking to me. I'm looking in a mirror when I say this, because I can very often say, you need to do this, 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 this. And just, I start spouting unsolicited advice. So make sure if you do know the money, the dollars and cents, don't just start spouting off the unsolicited advice. Support women in financial decision-making and don't just simply make the decision yourself. Because while you might know the right path to choose, it's still important to talk about it and let the women in your life help in the financial decision making. We also need to promote financial literacy. Share resources and information equally. If you hear a great podcast that's really lining you up for the next big money move that you want to make, share it with your spouse. That way you can both be educated in terms of the financial discussions, planning, and investing, especially make sure your spouse or the women in your life are involved in investing, because that's extremely important. But what action steps can women take today? Let's talk about that next. Alrighty, the first step I actually really like, and I think this applies to both men and women, but one thing that can help is keep a journal of emotions related to money. Track your feelings around spending and financial decisions and investing in things like that. This can help you overcome the typical judgment that is cast on women for spending money, because then you get to feel okay about your spending because you realize where you may or may not want to spend money. And even though spending can sometimes be an ingrained idea, it can maybe help you break through that and understand, wow, I would actually don't really need to make these purchases, but society seems to make me feel like I need to. And journaling that can help you externalize it and realize where you may not want to be spending money. And it increases your self-awareness without judgment. Also, seek to understand and identify your money triggers. The journaling is also going to help you reflect on feelings when you're dealing with money. Do you feel scared, nervous, excited, pumped, enthusiastic? Recognize your emotional responses to financial situations. That way you can ask others for help, ask others how they feel in those situations, and you can begin to understand the emotions that come with money. And here's another one that applies to everybody. Find a money buddy. Partner with someone for mutual financial accountability. And share your journey and support each other. Find a friend of yours that you're also working through doing better with money together, and then you can support each other. And they're going to be the person that's going to most understand when you say, oh, that's not in the budget. Because you're going to begin to be more confident with your money, and you're going to begin to be more open and honest about your money stories. And when you find a money buddy, you can share that journey and support each other. Also, work to build financial confidence. Take small steps towards financial goals. The thing that seems so intimidating about money is that you feel like you have to do it all at once. You have to lay out your entire budget, your long-term plans, your medium-term plans, all that stuff that's really hard and you have to do it all at once. That is not true. Take small steps. Ask key questions and seek simple, emphasis on simple, and easy to implement solutions. Get your foot in the door with investing. That way you can feel more confident because maybe you've never been taught about investing. Start simple. Often financial salespeople will try to confuse us and complicate us with expensive financial products. And I think another thing that kind of opening up the natural assumptions in the financial realm is that I almost wrote a financial salesman when I went to write this episode. So that's another thing that we need to be aware of. Often it might be men trying to sell these different financial products that are just seeking to confuse you and complicate your life with expensive financial products that you don't really need. Make sure your finances are simple and easy to understand so you can confidently make decisions by yourself. And embrace those financial conversations with your money buddy. Talk about money openly with your friends and family, and break the cycle of shame by discussing your financial experiences, especially the hard ones. Those are going to be the fun conversations where you're going to learn a lot. But that does it for today's episode. I hope you were able to take something away from it. I really think there's a lot of great information in today's episode. But let's wrap it up next. In this episode, we tackled the financial hurdles that women face and why these challenges persist. From not asking for what they deserve to taking time out for caregiving, women encounter many unique obstacles that impact their financial well-being. Women may internalize societal messages that money is a man's realm, leading to lack of confidence and shame around financial matters. This lack of confidence is compounded by the fact that financial education is rarely targeted towards women, leaving many feeling ill-equipped to manage their finances. Stephanie McCullough provided in today's episode some actionable insights for both men and women to bridge this gap. Men can support women by discussing emotional aspects of money and fostering open conversations. Women can take control by tracking their financial emotions, finding a money buddy, and embracing financial discussions without shame. Imagine a world where women are confidently managing their finances, openly discussing money without fear or shame, and having the same access to financial education and opportunities as men. This episode is a step toward making that vision a reality. So share today's episode with someone in your life. Start a conversation about how women are taught differently about money and how we can all work together to change this narrative. By spreading awareness and fostering open discussions, we can help women feel more empowered and in control of their finances. And of course, my contact information and Stephanie's information are in the show notes. If you would like to reach out with any questions, feel free as always, shoot me an email and I'd be happy to answer them on the podcast. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.